It's 11:35, Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave.
Gotham, die in Iceland! Come on home, Canada! This is where it is! On today's show, I'm back, and so is the much-lamented sound of coal-fired radio. We investigate the place for cities in the 21st century, and more on the transition from digital to analog, the recommissioning. All this for you, with me, on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Today, I come to you live on a remote broadcast while sound guy Hollis Duffus keeps the home fires burning in our downtown studio. I am high atop Mount Sio, overlooking the capital city, on the site of BCN's much-loved and heretofore much-missed carbon-powered transmitter. Now, part of the agreement between management and labor settling last month's strike here was that the coal-fired transmitter returned to service. Today, the recommissioning, as the digital communications array perched atop the BCN building in the old town goes away, and we go back on the coal line. And if everything happens according to the giant plan, the transition from the whisper of digital to the roar of coal fire will occur here on the Great Eastern. I'm standing in view of the venerable transmission tower, the giant rabbit ears that pierce the sky, amid work people who bustle all around, polishing the rust-off knobs unturned for years, scraping and painting, preparing for the great leap backwards. The stokers do their warm-ups now and gaze longingly at the huge mountains of coal that have been delivered to the site in the drays and barrows and gurneys driven by grizzled veterans of the industrial age, the likes of which we haven't seen around these parts for years. There's a few men down there with coal dust in their veins and a black glint in a dewy eye. The rush to air could happen any time in the next half hour, so we must be prepared. But presently, there appear to be some delays on ground zero. I'm getting the signal here. Let's take this opportunity now and go to an item that we recorded earlier in the week. How we live is defined very much by where we live. Canada has become, since the war, an urban society. Now the shape, the organization, the very nature of our cities is being altered by government policy, as it is dictated by the major banks. Here to discuss our changing metropolitan landscapes are Dr. C.Ann Byrne, an urbanist and director of the Institute for Parking Studies at the University of Newfoundland at St. John's.
Delighted to be here, Paul.
And Farley Monk, head of the Townies Front, a citizens' rights group.
Paul.
Rights, Farley? For citizens? In this day and age?
Why not? I mean, these are our cities. It's our space.
This is where the trouble often starts. Cities are first and foremost trading centers, hubs of enterprise, that people live adjacent to business. Well, that's their problem.
My family's been in St. John's for generations. Businesses have come and gone. Perhaps capitalism happens here because it's where people are. Not the other way around.
Yeah, I live at my mom's place, and we've been there for years. And now they're putting in this open pit, infected human tissue dump out back. And when I call City Hall to complain, I'm laughed at. There's a biohazard sign nailed into our fence.
Who built that fence originally?
My dad.
I'm making a note of this. We might be able to help with the sign.
Great.
That's just one aspect of this very complex problem. Paul points out the trouble he's having when he tries grousing about some tissue dump to the bureaucrats at City Hall. It demonstrates that cities are, secondly...
This is after places for business to happen?
Yes, yes. Secondly, they are government entities, jurisdictions, tax bases.
And why not have a city, then, with businesses, a municipal government, and no population?
We're looking into that.
Who will work in the businesses? I mean, who will buy the goods?
Assuming that automation will have eliminated all manufacturing jobs by the year 2008, the service portion of the workforce can be shipped in from the from the satellite communities. A portion of their pay will be in city vouchers.
Excuse me, Sam, what city are we talking about here?
It's a different circumstance in each center.
Okay.
In Toronto, the terms are being dictated by the votes of the suburbs. There, the ethnically diverse, essentially liberal urban core will be used as a sort of furnace heating the surrounding conservative WASP incubators.
Oh, I'm afraid to ask what's in store for St. John's.
Here, the terms are still dictated by an incredibly chauvinistic group in the east end of the city core. This group needs living space and so will expand westward.
Well, isn't the bedroom community of Mount Pearl in their way?
They will be displaced from their homes and used as slaves.
Oh, well, I can see the logic in that.
Okay, let me get this straight. Continued amalgamation, then, gets neighborhoods and their petty local concerns out of the way of the centralized plan.
Precisely.
Despite the fact that referendum after referendum indicates massive public opposition.
Well, Farley, you have to ask whether our society can still afford these democratic exercises.
Oh, well, that's true, Farley. I mean, what's the point shelling out for referendums that we already know aren't going to be respected by the authorities?
Precisely my point.
But, Anne, what you're proposing is some kind of Fritz Lang-like nightmare futuropolis with subhuman slaves in the service of a faceless techno-city whose only meaning is his own reproduction.
Something like that.
Aha! But how did that movie end?
Oh, good question.
I can't remember. Can you, Paul?
Farley?
No.
That's a great movie, though. Okay, well, I'm sure we haven't heard the last of this issue. Cian Byrne, expert, and Farley Monk. What would you call yourself, Farley?
Activist and house husband.
Okay, Farley Monk and Cian Byrne, thank you both for being with us.
Join BCN's Bernard Ayres this Sunday morning at 6:45 for the Happy Tight One. Enter the exciting, nerve-tingling world of
high interest,
high risk,
high five.
Freeze the refreshing, rewarding ozone of the pennies in, dollars out Newfoundland Stock Exchange, the NFSE.
Out of this world opportunity.
Out of this province investment.
Out of this country tax exemption.
Hello, I am Bernard Ayres, the Happy Tight Wad. Join me for a special introduction to the NFSE, North America's regulation-free stock exchange.
Steel futures,
speculative levers.
Ever hear of homogenized bonds?
All trade the no-load funds subject to 9% buy-sell commission.
Get down on the trading floor.
Tune in to the Happy Tight Wad only on BCN, Sunday mornings at 6:45.
Neither Bernard Ayres nor the Happy Tight Wad are official agents for the Newfoundland Stock Exchange. Joining me here at the BCN transmitter site atop Mount Sion.
Watch it with the infelder gas tube.
Joining me is BCN's Director of Engineering, Luke Chernyansky.
Hello, Paul.
Now, Luke, since we switched from coal-fired to digital back in summer 95, a huge number of listeners have complained about the quality of the new signal.
Paul, I hardly know what to say. The digital array provides a signal of measurably higher fidelity.
But our listeners aren't hearing that, Luke. They comment on the coolness, the sterility of the new sound.
By every standard, the Torma array is a superior transmitter. Coal-fired radio only seemed to sound better.
Still, there were problems with the array, weren't there?
But the service interruptions were brief.
Also, some radios were destroyed.
They were overheated.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. And the birth of the radio babies in
They've
the area?
They've never proven a causal link.
Did you ever find out what it was?
Sunspots.
Hmm?
Maybe we should ask ourselves the question, was this the right place to introduce such sophisticated technology?
Still, it's a great day here for radio.
It really ticks me off, actually, that we've got to do this. Not so much the cost of refitting or of scrapping the array, but they never gave this new technology a chance. The digital signal is stronger. The sound is better.
Still, perhaps not as robust as the coal-fired signal that so suited the Newfoundland terrain.
There's no future in an organization on its way back to coal-fired radio.
Well, much to chew on there. We're still obviously not ready to throw the mighty switch here on Mount Sion. Some last-minute ministrations. So, look, why don't you stick around for the singular most popular game show in the history of the Empire?
I'd love to, Paul, but really, am I responsible?
Great, it's time to play What's That Noise from Newfoundland. Hollis Duffett, manning the board back in the warm studios in the old town, take this as your cue to reacquaint us with what it is that the sound is.
The actual sound of the pen.
There you have it, the noise from Newfoundland. Now, we've dragged the mailbag full of contest entries up the mount with us, so now I call upon you, Luke, to dip into the assembled guesses and draw from the glutch one listener's surmise. Just pull out the first one to hand there.
Okay, it's an email, modern technology, or yuppie mail in the parlance of your show, Paul. All the way from Ontario, Richmond Hill, in fact. Do you know where that is, Paul?
It's downtown Toronto, I think. Why don't you read it for us, Luke?
Okay, it's from Robert Graham, and he writes about the sound. This is an easy one. What we hear is a recording of a live radio broadcast of the signing of the documents to bring Newfoundland into, yada, 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 yada. Since radio was the medium of the day then, the cub reporter decided to share the moment coast to coast with all Canadians by means of them hearing the signing.
Thanks, Luke. And that's Robert Graham, I believe, a listener from Ontario. Hollis Duffett, are you listening? Do we have a winner? Yes, 2 weeks in a row. Wow. Congratulations, Robert Graham of Richmond Hill. A Great Eastern T-shirt is almost on its way to you. Now, while it's not often we have back-to-back winners here, it's not totally unknown. And, of course, we must have a new noise for you to mull over for next week. And here it is. Hollis? That's it. And if you know or think you know what that new noise from Newfoundland is, please enter the contest. Our street address is 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. You can also email your guest to greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Thank you, Luke Chernansky. Obviously a busy man. He's gone off to his appointed rounds. Thank you, Luke Chernansky, head in chief of our engineering department. And we're really not ready yet to recommission the co-fire transmitter, so let's go to some music. From Finland, here's Anel Nidat, Moata Chalmi.
Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights. Coming up after the Great Eastern, it's Look It's. Today, Look It's Lager, Part 4. Join a hopped-up Ricky Parabrame for his crawl of the old town's favorite Irish brew pubs. First stop, the Maudlin Leprechaun for a pint or two of Old Sham. Then it's on to Blarney O'Bluster's for a rundle of Hurley's Bitter. Last stop, the rub and jig for the provisional porter and the new Provo Light. Olé, 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 olé. Whatever that means, today on Look It's. At 4, it's episode 24 of Delbert Onglow's hyper-real dramatic meditation on domestic themes, Please Make It Stop. This week, all hands chip in to help sullen daughter Brenda with her new 900 number service. Mom's talking the ear off many a happy customer, but feral dad's snappy retorts attract the attention of the Better Business Bureau, the CRTC, and some honorable gentlemen. No, don't stop. This week on Please Make It Stop. At 11 tonight, why not tune your radio to this station and swing by the Tiki Meow Lounge of the Hotel Palmer Hotel? That's right, it's the Light Fantastico with host Max Manhattan Oftel. Max's guests tonight include ex-wives 3 and 5. They're still bitter. Counselor come confidence man Marty Ralph, and local Dr. Feelgood Carl Moutre, who drops by with his usual smorgasbord of bennies, delauded, and roofies. Hey, baby, whatever gets you through the night on the Light Fantastico. A full day of informative and entertaining programming, only on BCN, 520 on the long wave.
We're still waiting here for the all-clear signal and the historic return to coal-fired radio. I'm being told that there's still some question as to the pressure threshold on the giant Kretschmeyer valves that regulate the bandwidth overload. In the meantime, let's go now to another pre-recorded segment. Last Monday, while still acting interim host, Erling Biggs spoke with the new music ensemble of Potsdam.
It's a great honor to welcome to our studios the acclaimed New Music Ensemble of Potsdam. In just a moment, the NMEP will grace us with their playing, but first, Dietmar Sarkowski, leader of the ensemble, joins me for a chat.
Hello, Erling.
I loved the performance last night, Dietmar.
Thanks, so did I.
I thought it was simply brilliant. Technically superb, tonally exquisite.
Yeah, it was.
You know, you guys looked like you were really enjoying yourselves up there.
Yes, this is the first time we've been to town and we're just blown away by the natural beauty and the vibe of the place.
Now, Dietmar, I understand that you were actually so moved by the experience of being here that you have composed a special piece that you're going to debut for us today here on The Greatest.
We're back. We'll play that interview in its entirety at some later date. Great work, darling. But I'm seeing now the orange flag from the top of the dam on Les Bottom Pond and... There's the gunshot indicating that the Corps of Engineers have completed the tolerance tests on the big pipes that carry the water down to the great boilers. They're to be turned to steam to spin turbines and There he is now, Ariult Manus, Director of Engineering Emeritus, back in our neck of the woods to fire up the coal-fired train.
Down here! Come down to the tunnel!
I'm coming, Ari! The excitement is palpable. Every indication now that we will be lighting the furnaces and returning to coal-fired transmission during this very broadcast. Harry, of course, volunteering his time to reignite the enormous Krupp's Funkenscheid burners. Harry, so very good to have you back.
It is a great honor to be here, Herr Moss.
Paraguay agrees with you.
Oh, thank you. Still, there's only so much of one's family one can endure.
How true. So, are we powering up today or what?
If you would accompany me.
Where?
Beneath the furnace, below the boilers, to the very bowels of this vast radio works, to the pilot light.
This operates on a pilot light system.
Yeah, why not? Come on.
Okay.
Yes, the overflow, the cathedral, we call it.
And what's its purpose?
The flow of water from the pipes proved very unpredictable. This was used as a secondary reservoir. And the boys on the dam today tell me the water runs out.
And where are we headed?
There is a utility tunnel over here. Follow me, quickly. Over here, boy.
Some door.
Yes.
with several million gallons of H2O on the other side. You want to make sure that everything is
really
secure.
Is this safe down here?
Look, on the floor. There's some water. This place has not had regular maintenance for years.
Where are we?
Isn't this exhilarating?
I guess.
I don't believe there is anyone still alive who witnessed the first ignition of this mighty generator.
Oh?
By all accounts, Paul, it is quite the moment. After the fuse is lit, the walls of the tube ripple with flames from the residual methane.
Tube?
The effect is called Lucifer's Halo. I must say, this is quite a privilege for you, Paul Moss, host of the Great Eastern.
Oh, Harry, no, well, you're the senior technician.
Sadly, my advanced years preclude me from crawling the length of the tube. Now, up this ladder.
Harry, this is the first I've heard of this.
Come up.
But I'm not even dressed for this. Well, the young technical wizard's now running matters at the BCN argue, and compellingly, Harry, that the fidelity of the digital array far and away exceeds...
Keep moving. Come on. Now, then we switch from the digital array back to coal-fired radio. Listeners at home may be subjected to wave warping or the tunnel-jumping anomaly. You there, at home, attention. Please stand back from your radio sets.
All right, Paul. Go ahead.
Now, wait a second, Harry. Don't tell me I gotta crawl into that pipe.
But we have come this far.
But I got a medical condition. I suffer terribly from claustrophobia.
Paul, the truth is that your mission is a dangerous one.
Huh?
But think of me. I am an old man. Must I be hunted down for the rest of my days?
Harry, but... who's hunting you down?
It's not important. It's a small detail. But I gave my life to coal-fired radio. And now, I ask you to risk yours. If not for me, Paul, then for the BCN.
Are you out of your mind?
Get in the door! There is no time to lose! Get in!
All right. You don't have to manhandle me. I'll go down that GD2.
Thank you, Paul. You don't know what this will mean. Oh, and here.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck, Paul.
What's that?
They have opened the sluices. Hurry, you must. If the cathedral fills, before the boilers are fired out, the pressure will be too high. We will all be killed.
We got to fall to the cathedral.
Hurry!
This must be it. Hunting. Ah!
The Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland. Coal Fire Radio.
The black smoke billowing from the majestic stacks.
The landscape here near the tower already beginning to darken under the heavy gray precipitate.
Yeah. Smell that.
What is it?
Sulfur dioxide.
Wow.
Congratulations, Paul. You did a good job down there.
I've got to tell you, Harry, when I was inside the vortex of flame with all the oxygen being consumed, and then the punishing pressure on my eardrums, losing consciousness during the seizure... Well, sir, I was worried for a second.
We have returned to coal fire. My work here is done. Obviously.
Hasta luego, Don Ari. What a week. You know, as some of you may have noticed, I was absent from the show last week. My much-publicized collapse of a couple of Saturdays ago was, thankfully, not as serious as it may have sounded to you when it happened. I was whisked off to St. Finian's Teaching Hospital here in St. John's, and many thanks to the soon-to-be doctors and nurses of that establishment for their help in my time of need. First, they thought I was suffering another cardiomyopathy. If I'd been conscious, I could have scotched that suggestion. But when that didn't pan out, they thought it was severe indigestion. They kept me overnight for observation. They also wanted me to eat a half a cup of pills, but I was having none of that. I was going to beat this thing, whatever it is, by myself. Then I fell asleep for 60 hours. When I awoke on Wednesday morning last week, I was diagnosed as suffering from nervous exhaustion. The stress and strain of strikes and a near-death experience going through the ice on Skin Cap and Pond and such, no doubt. But I'm back on the go now. I'm ready and raring, as they say. Thanks for your cards. And what a momentous day for me to return. I have to admit that the lure of the recommissioning of the bituminous-fueled transmitter tower here today did serve as an impetus for me hoisting myself out of the beanbag. Anyway, it's a beautiful morning here on Mount Sio. It's been fabulous seeing Ari Oldmanis again, back from sunny South America. Wonderful, too, watching the bulky, sweaty, swarthy stokers feeding the furnaces that directly cause my words to reach you. Honestly, I wish you could be here in person, as out the smokestack above me comes a black puff of acclamation. We are coal-fired. We beat on this giant nautical machine, a ship against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. Great Eastern came to you live today from the BCN transmission tower site on Mount Sio. Hollis Duffett was our engineer, and Ish Lundrigan is the director of radio. You can write us care of the BCN, 342 Duckwood Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5. Our email address on the internet is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Check out our website. It's at CBC Radio's homepage in the arts section. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next Saturday for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.